Just a few reminders for our meeting structure, guidelines for WebEx. Please keep yourself muted unless you're speaking. If you're presenting, if you could have your camera on so we can see your faces, that would be swell and more engaging. And I'll try to monitor the chat. I do a really bad job of that. But if other people see things in the chat that I've missed, please let me know. So let's go ahead and do roll call. I'm just going to go and read everyone's names on the screen, kind of like attendance in school, just to streamline things. So Rob.
I'm here and I have Rocky helping.
Excellent. Hello, Rocky. All right. Alex.
Here.
Galena.
Galena's here.
Jay.
I'm here.
Laura.
Here.
Hi, Laura. Pat.
I'm here.
Hi, Pat.
Hello.
Delan.
I am here. Barely.
Hello. Kaylee.
Hello, I'm here.
Hello, Stacy.
I'm here with Snickers.
Everyone has a pet today. I didn't get the memo. Ahmad.
Good evening, everyone. I'm here.
Hello. And Nicole.
Here.
Hi, Nicole.
Hey.
All right. So it looks like it's still just one short of a quorum. Oh, no, John Spencer. John, you're here. Unmute yourself and say you're here.
You. There we go. You're here.
Yay. Hi, John. Because you're here, we can go in order in administrative actions. Oh, wow. Look at you.
Woo-hoo!
That's quite a Christmas suit. You definitely win the competition. Nice. I have no prizes for you virtually. Sorry.
Hey, Stacy, it looks like Barbara has her hand raised. Like she might be here as well.
Yeah, I'm here and I raised my hand trying to get attention. I also sent several notes on chat.
You're not on my screen, Barbara. I've like swiped five directions.
Okay. I'll log off by logging in again.
No, don't log off. Well,
if you stay in, Barbara, at this point, what we can do is just keep you in here and just manage your mute button as much as possible, and you should be good.
Yeah, everybody but Kelsey can see and hear you, or hear you at least.
You're not showing up in my chat either. So someone just go ahead and please let me know if Barbara's like raising her hand physically or in the chat. Okay, well, this is great. So now we have everyone except Dave, who we were not anticipating. All right. So we have a bunch of meeting minutes to review. I didn't see those on the county's website when I looked today. All I saw was the PowerPoint and the agenda. Is there any way those could be read to us?
I can pull them up for you, Kelsey, because they weren't executed yet. We didn't load them onto this PowerPoint or to the page. So I'll pull those up right now.
That would be great. And it comes pretty small on our screen. So if you could just, if there were any motions, just read the like one sentence motion so we aren't just guessing. That would be awesome.
All right. Can you see the first meeting minutes from October 29th?
I can see the top. Oh, now I'm starting to see it. Yes, so no motions were made, correct?
No.
Yes, okay. So does anyone want to make a motion to approve the October 29th meeting minutes?
29th.
All right, so moved.
It's been moved. Will someone second it?
Please.
Okay, I'll second it.
I'll second it. Sorry.
That's okay.
The mute buttons.
Yes, and a reminder to be on mute because I'm getting some echoes. So be on mute unless we're all talking to approve this motion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, those meeting minutes are approved. So now it looks like we'll do November 10th. Yep. All right. Meeting minutes for November 10th. It looks like we had two motions, motion to adopt October meeting minutes and motion to accept. I cannot read that bottom part.
Staff.
Oh, Kevin's staff report about, is it the Hawkinson property?
Yeah.
Okay. Does someone want to make a motion to approve November 10th meeting minutes?
I'll move again.
And I'll second.
Thanks, Jay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, motion carries. And last but not least, November 19th, this was a post plan update meeting. We had no motions. And so this one should be pretty straightforward. Does anyone want to make a motion to approve?
Move to adopt.
Thank you, Barbara. Second, anyone?
I'll second.
Thank you, Jay. It's been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Okay, good job, everyone. Reminder to submit volunteer hours. I think we're going to get a more lengthy explanation about that from Kaylee because I haven't done it since Dora left. So I definitely need to figure out how to do the online submitting thing. For shame, for shame. I've only been on this board for what, like 4.5 years now. I'm a bad example. Okay, so public comment. Alex said that it didn't appear we had any. And so now we'll jump right into Pat. He's going to give us a presentation on conservation futures and give us an update with what's going on there. So if everyone could stay on mute for this, that would be great, obviously, except Pat. All right. Thanks, Pat.
People hear me now? Hello?
We can hear you, Pat.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. So what I've got is I got a PowerPoint that provides you a little background on where we are with conservation futures, and I will try and share that on the screen. There we go. All right. So first I'm going to provide a little background about the program for those that may have forgotten or may not be familiar with it at all. And then we'll talk a little bit more about some of the projects that we are hoping to get your input and prioritization on as we work through the Conservation Areas Acquisition Plan update. So the program was instituted in 1995 as the Conservation Futures Program, and it was renamed Legacy Lands Program in 2006. It's kind of confusing because the Conservation Futures Fund is still called the Conservation Futures Fund, which is our primary local source of funding. Revenue is generated by a property tax levy. The maximum levy rate is 6.25 cents per thousand valuation. But for 2020, the levy rate is 3.77 cents per thousand. And for 2021, is anticipated to be 3.62 cents per thousand. The program has been very successful over its history. helping to acquire over 5,000 acres of land and leveraging county revenue by a greater than 1-to-1 ratio. Acquisitions have helped to assemble many of the well-known parks and natural areas in the county, including those on this list. Funds have been distributed throughout the county, and acquisitions have been made along all major creeks and lakes. As the county's population has grown, public use of legacy lands has also increased significantly. Many habitat restoration projects have been carried out on legacy lands, and the long-term investments made by the county and partners are proving to be extremely valuable to support salmon recovery and water quality improvement efforts. The Conservation Futures Fund was instituted at the start as the dedicated fund to account for revenues and expenditures in the program. Average annual levy collection over the last 5 years was $2.38 million. Up to 25% of the prior year's levy revenue is used for operation of the program and maintenance of properties. 75% of prior year's levy must be dedicated to conservation land acquisitions. In 2017, Council approved a list of 10 priority acquisition projects and authorized the sale of bonds to finance them. $7 million in bonds were sold in 2018 to be repaid over a 20-year period. Fund balance through October 2020 is $11.5 million and includes the bond sale proceeds. First priority for use of the funds is debt service. Second is operations and maintenance. Third is bond projects with other acquisitions undertaken as resources allow. The State Recreation and Conservation Office, a primary source of state grant funds and federal pass-through funds, requires project sponsors to update planning documents every 6 years to maintain grant eligibility. The update provides the opportunity to engage conservation partners at the front end of a 6-year planning cycle. A list of short-term project opportunities will help staff to prioritize work activities, and a list of short-term county and partnership opportunities will be used to program use of the Conservation Futures Fund. RCO requires the plan to address the following elements: conservation goals and objectives, an inventory of important conservation resources, a review of the public involvement access used to develop public involvement process used to develop the plan, a conservation recreation demand analysis, a 6-year capital improvement program, and certification that the plan was adopted by the governing body. Current priorities are to complete the Conservation Futures bond projects. We would like to reallocate bond revenues to new projects, as 2 projects have been withdrawn because landowners did not wish to move forward at this time, and we wish to include a new list of potential projects in the plan to guide acquisitions over the next several years. So let me give you a quick status of the 2017 bond projects. The Lacamas Lake North project, the city of Camas acquired 135 acres along the north shore of Lacamas Lake. Purchase and sale agreements for 50 acres of the Mason Creek project are approved by council. Well, the Center Bowling Creek, Yakult Burn, and East Fork Lewis Optimus are scheduled for completion by 2/28/22. We're looking at a possible 65-acre expansion of the Lewis River Ranch project. A new appraisal is underway for the expanded footprint. We hope to have a purchase and sale agreement before council in 2021. The recent public release of the Lewis and Clark Trail plan shows that some acquisitions along Lake River could benefit trail alignment alternatives between Vancouver Lake and the Lewis River. Screening of farm preservation projects continues. And in 2018, the city of Vancouver completed acquisition of the 45-acre Fenton property near Fourth Plain Boulevard and Fifth Plain Creek. The draft 2020 update to the Conservation Areas Acquisition Plan identifies 20 potential projects. This table shows a subset of this project list. These are the projects whose scope is better defined and are strong candidates for reallocation of bond funds. The Camp Curry Lacamas Heritage Trail would connect some of the city of Camas's Lacamas Lake North acquisitions with a trailhead located in the city, a trail through Camp Curry and across Lacamas Creek to tie into the Lacamas Heritage Trail. We had submitted a grant application to fund this project to the State Recreation and Conservation Office earlier this year. Unfortunately, it was not among the priorities identified given the available grant funding. So we hope to try that again, maybe in 2022. Council has been provided some potential alternatives for the Cedars Golf Course acquisition. It is also a candidate for grant applications as well as use of clean water, stormwater source control funds. We purchased the 150-acre Flume Creek property in 2015 with the assistance of grant funds. However, we have not been able to negotiate a public access easement from the end of the public roadway across private property to provide vehicular access to the site. We would like to explore fee acquisitions to address the access issue before this creates a grant compliance issue. In October 2019, Council sent a letter to the Department of Natural Resources requesting reconveyance of land to the county that is adjacent to the Hantwick Road to Moulton Falls Trail Corridor and originally included in DNR's Michigan Trotter timber sale. We have provided $35,000 to the state to facilitate state review of that request, which is still ongoing. Horseshoe Falls is a significant holding and staging area for the steelhead during their upstream migrations. It is also an important fish survey site for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Acquisition of the private land on both sides of the falls would protect this important fishery resource. Columbia Land Trust sponsored a state salmon recovery grant application earlier this year that ranked as the number one project in the Lower Columbia region. County owns all the land on the south bank of the East Fork Lewis River between La Cena Road and Paradise Point State Park, except for a portion of two private lots with river frontage. Purchasing the portions of the lots with river frontage would enable construction of a trail between La Cena and Paradise Point. The developer of the Three Creeks mixed-use community has inquired if Clark County is interested in purchasing 31 and a half acres along Whipple Creek north of 179th Street. The developer proposes to build a natural surface trail through the area. For many years, there has been a desire to make a regional trail connection between Whipple Creek Regional Park and Fairgrounds Community Park. This acquisition would provide that opportunity and sufficient land to provide a safe trail crossing of Northwest 11th Avenue. Many of these projects are less defined, but should also be prioritized. Some of these may gain traction over the next several months. Others may be longer term goals, but may be worth including in the conservation area's acquisition plan in case opportunities present themselves to move forward. The Southeast 192nd Avenue Columbia River access is a high priority for both the cities of Camas and Vancouver. One of the key properties in this area is clouded by a first right of refusal held by a development concern that has not been cooperative to date. Ackerman Island to SR 14 includes some of the GP Camas Mills remaining property holdings along the Columbia River. Green Mountain additions are among Camas's highest priorities. Only recently have discussion begun with landowners. Lacamas Prairie Natural Area is managed by the State Department of Natural Resources and located on former Anderson Dairy pasture lands between Camas and Vancouver. DNR has aggregated approximately 200 acres to date to restore a wet prairie ecosystem and has money to purchase several hundred acres more. If DNR resources are insufficient to acquire key parcels within the Lacamas Prairie Natural Resources Conservation Area, Conservation Futures resources could provide important gap funding. Lower Washougal Greenway additions involve smart parcels with river frontage that could close gaps in the system. Ridgefield Pits is owned by CEMEX Environmental Enhancement Group and is located along the East Fork Lewis River adjacent to current County Greenway properties. The Lower Columbia Estuary Partnership is currently leading a salmon habitat restoration design project focused on the pits. Ridgefield Schools to Flume Creek Trail Corridor. Many of you may remember this from our 2017 Conservation Futures bond discussions. There has been a change in ownership of some of the properties, and it may be worth exploring whether new ownership is more receptive to the concept. Three Lakes Connection seeks to acquire small private land inholdings among Lacamas Round and Fallen Leaf Lakes in Camas. The Washougal River Greenway seeks to connect Hathaway and Schmidt Family Parks and expand the greenway in that vicinity for water access, recreation, and possible salmon habitat restoration. Yackleburn Forest Phase 2 would expand the Phase 1 easement acquisition by the Columbia Land Trust by 5,900 acres to keep the land in long-term forest management and provide public access. Yackle to Moulton Falls Trail. This proposal seeks to acquire a trailhead in the vicinity of the southern town limits. The Chulachi Prairie Trail, Rails with Trails plan identifies this segment as a high priority between Yackle and Moulton Falls, and it is second behind the existing trail that goes from Battleground, although we have not, Battleground Lake State Park, to Fairgrounds Park in the city of Battleground, although we have not been able to extend it through one particular property to make that connection. This is a high priority for the town of Yackle. The town sees its key location along the Chulachi Prairie Rail Trail and proximity to the Yackleburn Forest as an important economic development opportunity to become a recreation centroid to North Clark County. Staff recommends the Parks Advisory Board begins the process of vetting projects and identifying priorities at the January 12th, 2021 meeting. And I will be preparing background information before then. If you have specific types of information that you would like to see to help with this process, please let me know and we will try to compile it as best we can. And that concludes the presentation. And I'll take questions if anyone has some.
I have a few. Pat, there's a bunch of those that are being requested by the cities. Do we have any prioritization from the cities on their requests?
We are getting some. I think it's only recently that the city of Camas, for example, is indicating it probably Green Mountain expansions would be their highest priority. As I mentioned, they're just beginning negotiations with the landowners. This would include land at the high point of Green Mountain and actually connections on down to Goodwin Road. Again, it's early discussion at this point.
Okay. And then my other question is on that, the Yackle Burn property. My first thought when you mentioned that was that it's both a acquisition and land protection, but there's also income off of that. I guess two questions. One, am I right? Is that there's significant income possibility that can help be used for other stuff? And second, where would that income go?
Actually, it's what is ongoing, and the city is the Columbia Land Trust has made significant progress attracting federal resources to help with this. But they're looking at purchase of a conservation easement, not a purchase fee. And so it would be the same proposal. Conservation easement going forward. It's basically Weyerhaeuser has indicated that they're very interested in, you know, continuing to work and seeing, you know, what steps may be necessary to do that.
And I guess my last one, and then I'll give somebody else a chance, is this is one more of a statement that if you can provide this to us in electronic or hard copy with, you know, as much additional information. There's too much there to keep it in my mind at once while we're talking.
Yes, I know. I just wanted to give a quick overview to sort of let you know might be coming. And I know there's a lot of projects here. So yeah, we would try to provide that information.
Cool beans.
So this is Jay Chester. Two things. One is, are we trying to just replace the two projects that fell out of the original 11? Is that right, Pat?
That is one priority. I think a second priority is trying to gauge where on the priority list some of these other things may fall. You know, we still are collecting Conservation Futures funding, so we may be able to stretch those resources beyond the 1.36 million that's available given the two projects that fell out. But I think, really, as John mentioned, there's so much here that some sort of relative prioritization would be very helpful in putting together the plan and pursuing the highest priority projects.
Well, so then we got like two priorities, if you will, or two prioritizations. One is for the two projects to fill the legacy, but then the prioritization of all of these against each other to see which ones float up to the top. So anyway, that's gonna be it. The other question I had was the Chulachi Trail or Chulachi Prairie, that Yakult, that's the northern head. And then the Cedars was gonna be near the southern head of that trail that went along the railroad, if I remember correctly. We worked on getting a grant for that. And I can't remember if we own the county owns the property already. It's almost like directly across the street from Cedars.
We own an 83-acre parcel there, the Salmon Morgan Creek Natural Area. Right across Salmon Creek from the existing county ownership is part of the Cedars Golf Course. And
right.
Of course, the western boundary of the county property is the Chulachi Prairie Railroad. So in the past, I think we had some discussions about trying to make that connection between Fairgrounds Park and Salmon Morgan Creek. Unfortunately, at that time, there was constraints. Space constraints relative to the railroad trestle that goes through that part. So we needed to.
That's right.
So we needed to find some.
We couldn't do that. Yeah.
Right. So we needed to find additional land, and this might provide us an opportunity to do that if we're to move forward with the Cedars project.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I remember that in the back of my mind, but there was a reason we couldn't put that all together. So, okay. I'm done.
So Pat, do you, in the first time we prioritized this list a few years ago, we had the sponsors of the project come and give us a pitch and a little more information about each project. Is that something you're envisioning happening again, or do you want this to be more succinct? Like you give us more information on each project for us to review. What's your vision here? How in depth do you want it to be?
Pat, can I jump into? This is Galena.
Sure.
I'm sorry, guys. I have to call for my phone so I don't see faces or chat. Our intent, Kelsey, is to have more discussion about these and invite folks who have, you know, whether it's the landowner or maybe another partner, to give you more information. I think it makes things a bit more transparent. There's still a lot to learn for some of our new staff, too, so it's a good learning opportunity for us. I did talk to Pat about, when we wrap things up with participation, to see how much time you're able or willing to give this project, but we were hopeful that it would be more of a discussion.
Yeah, I think we benefited as a group last time having the presentations. And so I think that would be really valuable. I'd also like to see if it's possible on a map, and we may already have this document, what's already been in progress. I want to make sure the projects are being distributed somewhat equally through the county. And so I kind of want to see where we're at with the 2017 projects. I mean, if they're all on the east side, I think that's important to know, because there's quite a few in Camas, I know. So in terms of like equity throughout the county, I want to see where we used this money thus far, if that's possible.
Yeah, that's possible.
Can I steal your thunder pouch for another minute?
Sure.
Oh my gosh, Kelsey, you're definitely preaching on this one. Pat and I were just talking about looking at the project historically and proactively through an equity lens, applying available census data, show you geography, but it also will show you different pockets of underserved and underrepresented communities. Now, I'm not sure that we could do that secondary piece by the time you start having meetings and discussions, but at a minimum, I think we could show you the geography of it all too.
Awesome. Are there any other questions for Pat in this preliminary stage of looking at these properties? No. Again, I can't see hands. My internet's been really bad, so I can't even see half your faces. So speak now, forever hold your peace. All right. Thank you so much, Pat.
You're welcome. And thanks for engaging the process.
Yeah, we enjoy it. Okay, Kaylee and Galena, volunteer coordinator introduction, and I don't even know how to say the name of the website I'm supposed to be using, so I'll let you two do that.
It really needs a better name, doesn't it? Well, I don't think she needs an introduction, because she, poor thing, I made her sit through that prose discussion the other night, but I will let her speak for more formally. Our new volunteer coordinator is here. To say hi, to say who she is and what she plans to do with our volunteer program. And honestly, the secondary intent is to help you get a bit more techy with your hourly submittals, largely because, we had to put the program assistant position on hold and kind of refocus its energy to help with other projects and other work. So she is solo in this endeavor. And so the more we could have, our volunteers do things online, I think the more we will be efficient. So Kaylee, take it away. You have just a few minutes, but feel free to say as much or as little as you like.
Hello, so my name is Kaylee McLaughlin Burton, and I've been in this position for a whole 3 weeks. But before that, I was over at Clark County Public Health for almost 3 years. So I'm new to public works and to parks, but I'm not new to working for the county. And right now I'm still just wrapping my head around everything, because public works does so much and so many great projects. And Galena and my supervisor, Megan, who is the public information officer for public works, the two of them have some really great ideas for where they want the volunteer program to help out, not just parks, but other divisions in public works. So I'll be working on really focusing the volunteer program and finding ways for us to empower other groups and partners in caring for parks that they're passionate about, and really spending some time in 2021 taking care of our Adopt-a-Park, Adopt-a-Road, and Park Host programs. And so that's what I'm going to be focusing on, in addition to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and how we can make not just our volunteer program, but all of our public spaces that volunteers help beautify and make welcoming, but they make them welcoming for everybody, regardless of race, ethnicity, and other identifying characteristics. So that's what I'm working on right now. Tonight, I'm here to show you how to enter your hours. And I am going to approach this pretending you all have never seen this before. And if you have, it can just be a review. So I'm hesitant to say it's pretty simple, because I know sometimes these things can be tricky. But what I will say is that I'm here to make it simple for you. And I'm working on, I have a video that we'll work on sharing with you where if you forget the steps that I go through tonight, you can watch that video and you can pause it and rewind it and watch it as many times as you want until you're a pro at using Vlogistics is how it's pronounced. So it's kind of a quirky little website, but we're gonna walk through it. So I'm gonna share my screen. All right, can everybody see the Google page here? So the first thing that you're going to do is you're gonna go to the county website and you can either just go to the main clark.wa.gov and go to departments and public works. You can also up here type in clark.wa.gov/public-works. So there's lots of different ways to get there. You can Google it and find this page. You just want to make sure you're here on the public works page. And you'll scroll down to where it says volunteer and you'll click on that. And you'll see a couple more options and you'll click on overview. And you'll get to the main volunteer page. I would suggest that you bookmark this. So whatever browser you're using or if you're using your phone, make this a bookmark so that you can just come straight here next time you need to log hours or you want to look at what else the volunteer program is going to be up to in the near future. So this is where the online calendar is for volunteer events, our volunteer applications. All the new and exciting things will be up on here. So this is a good website to have bookmarked. So then you'll scroll down to where this heading says current volunteers. And then you'll see there's some text here in the nice Clark County teal that says Vlogistics website and it turns orange when you hover over it. So you're gonna click on that and this login screen will come up. If you've never logged in before and you're not sure what your login name is, so your login name is going to be an email address that we have on file for you. If you're not sure which email address that is, please reach out to me and I can look it up and let you know what email address is associated with you in the system. So you'll enter your email, you'll enter your password. If you've never logged in before or you have, but it's been so long, you don't remember your password, let me know and I can assign you a temporary password so you can log in and then you can reset your password to something new. So I'm going to log in. And so this is what you'll see. And there's a whole bunch of different things you can do in here, but tonight I just want to talk about entering your hours. So you'll go over to this tab that's on the right. It says timesheet. So you'll click on that tab and then let's say you're entering your hours for tonight's meeting. You'll use these drop downs to get the correct date. This is why, I mean, it's just a little bit easier if you do your hours right when you have hours to enter because then it says scrolling through all the different dates, it's already done for you. So then you can select the length of time that you spent on volunteering. And there's all these other questions too. If something doesn't apply to the volunteer activity you did, you can just ignore all those things. So you guys aren't, as far as I know, removing leaves or mulching things unless you join one of those activities out at the parks. So yours is easy for these Parks Advisory Board meetings. You just enter the date and how long you served. You click the green continue button. And then this screen comes up where you can review the information if you need to change the number of hours or the date, you can click this green no button and you can come back here and make some changes. And then once it's the way you want it, you click yes. And then there it is. And so you can always go into this My Service History tab to see the hours that you've entered. This will be especially helpful if you don't remember whether or not you entered your hours for last month's meeting. You can click on that, click on the year. So I clicked on 2020, and then all my service records come up here. And like I said, I will be sending out and getting posted somewhere a video that kind of goes through these steps again. And I also wanted to remind you that if you've never logged in before and you aren't sure what email address to use to log in, or you need a temporary password to log in, please just contact me and I will be happy to help you out. Any questions?
And you could send us this presentation information too, right? Like screen maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Alex is helping me work on getting like so there's a Google Drive account. And so I'm going to put some tutorials and informational documents in a folder in Google. So you can go there and see not just help on entering your hours, but all the other things you might want to do, like review and print your hours and things like that.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Given that I haven't submitted hours since March, according to this, is it acceptable if I just estimate how many hours I've done? If I say today I put in roughly 30 hours, can I just call it good?
I've only been here 3 weeks, so I'm going to let Galena answer that question.
Estimate in our favor. Kidding. Yes, you could estimate. And by the way, we're going to launch this tool to other volunteer groups too. Even if you do some paperwork to us on time, we are so behind right now on data entry, we will not get to it for quite some time. So it's absolutely.
Yeah. And John, more to your question as to whether or not you can just enter all of your hours since March under one date. Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, basically.
Doing it over and over again. So I think for 2020, I'm fine with that because I think on all reports and records, 2020 is going to have a big asterisk next to it anyways. And so I can't really see us doing like reports and saying, oh, we had like no volunteer hours in March, but a ton in December. What happened? I don't really think that's going to be the situation for this year. So yeah, go ahead and do that. But in 2021, I would really, really, really appreciate it if everyone could keep up on their hours and try to keep those records as accurate as possible so that 2021 onwards, we have a really accurate picture of all the hard work you guys contribute.
So I have a question. I know one of the greatest contributors to logging hours is not really knowing other than our monthly meeting what can go there. Like when I attend the NAC meeting, do I log those hours in? Or when we go and work at the food bank, putting together boxes, are those hours logged on this volunteer site? Or is it just the park stuff?
Barbara, it's very, very hard to understand you. I don't know if your phone and your computer are...
I don't have my phone on.
Okay. So from what I've heard is where do the hours go? What goes here? What goes in logistics is anything related to projects that Parks Division has sanctioned. So if your work with the food bank is a project, you add your hours. Barb, if you could go just for a second, I think it jumbles up.
Okay.
There you go, a little better. I hope you could hear me a little better too. So if it's a project system, and if you don't know that, either look it up or ask Kaylee, she could look it up for you. You could attach your hours to it. But if it's not, if it's a project, let's say with another nonprofit and we're not affiliated with them, we're not doing volunteer work with them, you would not be able to attach your hours. And we could, when we sorted, let's say we set up a project with the foundation for a golf tournament next September. I'm making this up, by the way, but let's say we did. And we asked you all to volunteer, then you could go in the system and pick golf tournament in September and attach your hours there. Does that help?
Yeah, and I'll work on to kind of cleaning up the back end of Volgistics and sending you guys updates or coming to a future meeting and showing you how you can assign hours to a specific event once I kind of get in the back end and get all that cleaned up. But for 2020, right now, we just want the number and get you get something in there. And then we'll kind of start making things a little bit more detailed as we all learn and move along.
All right. Thank you, Kaylee. And full disclosure for those who don't know, Kaylee's my sister. I knew she applied for the job, but I didn't tell Galena we were related until after they hired her. So I think I surprised a few people there, but I didn't want to ruin, hurt, or help her chances, probably hurt them if I confessed my relationship to her. So if she mocks me for not being able to say Volgistics and I get snappy with her, it's more from a sister perspective than a, you know, like I'm just being mean to staff. So, all right, that is all.
If you had only told me during the interview process, I could have had so much fun with her.
We honestly had no idea. And congrats. I'm like, how did you know? Who told you? I'm like, how could John, why did you feel guilty?
Kaylee told me.
John was the only panelist in the first interview to ask a question. So you did put me in the hot seat a little bit there.
And if John had been paying attention at his Halloween party last year, Kaylee was in attendance with me. So she's been to his house and he didn't even know. So that's how astute John's observation skills are. All right, enough about me and Kaylee. Thank you for that. And you're gonna have to send me all my password and login stuff because I never use that website as we've all established. Okay, thank you, Kaylee. John, I put headbands on, so you're not the only ostentatiously Christmas person I can see. And you're going to lead us in a discussion about the Fern Prairie Modelers Flying Site Request.
All right, and I have to say, I just came in off the field. I was liming today, and I have absolutely no idea what I'm supposed to be saying. Modelers Club. So, the issue is that the Fern Prairie Modelers Club has had a 2-acre site down at the port of Camas Washougal, and it's been it's not been rented. It's been a arrangement. Basically, it's they released us from liability and we let them use it for quite a number of years. Up until very recently, we plan on building a building over top of their runway, so we've kicked them out. Great group of people doing good stuff, but it's a hard activity to site because of the noise. People don't necessarily want airplanes flying around their houses and whatnot. So I reached out to Galena to ask whether there might be some open space or some park space somewhere that we might be able to work with them on. They need, like I say, about 2 acres for their field. And they would do all of the modification. Basically, they create a runway, not big and paved, I don't believe, though I'm not certain at this point. The main thing I think for us to know is that they do the work and pay for it themselves. Ideally, it would be 2 acres in the middle of about 5 acres, so that their aerial activities aren't going to be bothering somebody else. And again, my connection is I just saw a group that needed a spot and I thought I would advocate for them and see if I could come up with anything. That's pretty much what I've got, unless Galena tells me I'm supposed to say more.
No, no. And I too got in the Christmas spirit or New Year's or holidays, by the way. Nice. Trying not to offend anybody, whatever holiday spirit we're in is good or not. But to add to John's point, so you all know that one of the things I'm trying to kind of get my head and hands around is these agreements and leases and partnerships and verbal and written and all that other jazz. And so we don't normally bring up lease discussions in these meetings because we don't need your approval, but I feel like it's important for you just to hear some sample of things that come to us for review, and they come from different places. Sometimes they come from community members, council members. Sometimes we learn of an opportunity. Sometimes these are old partnerships, things of that nature. John brought up this one. So we just wanted to share this one with you, and I will be bringing up a couple of more, including in January, you'll hear from Harmony Sports Complex. They're asking to lease more land. So I just want you to be aware of some of these things more than, you know, maybe offer any sort of guidance, feedback, input is helpful. For this specific project, I could not think of a parks property, like a one that we would want to develop, or one where we're doing some conservation work, or developed parks certainly would be difficult. I think the types of uses could be a bit problematic for neighborhood parks specifically, but we do have some lands that we've purchased and don't have plans to develop that essentially look like gravel parking lots. I think it's called a Pebble Creek. So I was going to look at that as an option to explore with John. But before I moved any further, like I said, I just wanted to share with you. And then also see if you have any ideas for this group too. There is another group that does something similar. I think they're out of Fairgrounds, which would be kind of far. You know, I mentioned it to John, but didn't know if you all maybe knew some other contacts or connections or possibilities before we bring it to a park. This type of activity on ongoing basis would require a permit. This is actually not a permitted activity under our code, so I'd have to actually get them to get a permit. And there's one of two ways: either we'll lease something to them and have an agreement, or permit it for a certain period of time, which could be problematic if they want to invest in any improvement. So lots to wrestle with. That's something that's, you know, important, but also not really big here. So any thoughts from the group, any wisdom, any ideas?
Well, it just sounds like we want John to take care of it. So just like when we assigned you the Railway Advisory Committee, it sounds like you'll be the lead on this project. Thank you, John.
Sweet.
That works. Awesome. Okay, John. Yeah. We'll follow up.
Okay.
Just keep us posted though, because I'd like to know the outcome and if we can find something for this group. Okay, let's move on to the election of the 2021 PAB Executive Board. I can't remember in the past, have we done kind of like a line item of each position, or could I just submit all three at one? And we should do it line item probably, right? Yeah.
Well, I think we've done it as a slate in the past though.
Oh, have we? I mean, that seems fast.
I thought we did.
You did a virtual ballot last time, and you did a slate of officers. Just that's the only year I was here. That's how you did it last time.
Yeah. Given that we're uncontested, I think in the past, prior to that, we've always just, I mean, it's different if it's a contested run, but it's not. So you can just do it as a motion.
Yeah. That makes sense, Barbara. Okay. All right, so just to remind everyone, it would be Jay as chair, Kelsey as vice chair, and Stacy as secretary. Someone want to make a motion that's not one of those three people, ideally?
So moved.
All right, so John made the motion and Barbara seconded it. You both spoke at the same time.
Give the motion to Barbara, and I will second.
Okay, sounds good. And all in favor of that lineup?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Thank you, Stacy, for becoming the secretary. Okay, we're going to have a post plan update from probably be Laura and Galena in tandem, but so I don't know who wants to start us off, but take it away.
Yeah, so when we put the agenda together, Kelsey, just as a refresher, one of the things I heard from the executive board is to help discuss where we are with the post plan, provide some feedback and guidance to staff. We don't have a presentation for you tonight. This was more an opportunity for you to kind of weigh in on what you've seen, what you've heard, share some of your feedback. Rob is also on the phone, and I believe Ahmad is still on. I can't check. Yep, I see both of them still on, so they might be jumping in too. But this was really just an opportunity for a discussion. And, you know, I shared with the executive board that we are re-scoping, rethinking, re-looking at things even closer, trying to figure out a path forward into 2021. But the rest of the board hasn't heard or participated in some of these discussions. So this is really our chance to kind of deliberate and get some feedback from you next steps. Kind of what are your hearts and minds tell you from what you've seen so far? And Laura will be on to listen.
Okay, well, I'll kind of get us started based on some discussions Jay and I have had, and John and Stacy via email. You know, it kind of seems from PAB's perspective that we have some definite concerns about a couple of items. The surveys, some of the, and how those survey results are going to be used and if they're reflective of Clark County as a whole and what, you know, Clark County residents of all ethnicities, incomes want. I mean, I don't think we had anyone below the poverty line respond to that survey, either survey. And for me, that's a big issue moving forward. Our results seemed, you know, it happened in our first PROS plan. We had the equestrian community come out really strongly in our first PROS plan. And so these surveys, while they can be helpful tools, I'm not sure if they're completely representative of what the direction the county should be going, and if it's just not certain segments of Clark County that are really advocating for certain things to happen. So that's one of the concerns I have. So the diversity, inclusion, equity aspect. I also have some issues with just some small things that we've had. I don't want to say pushback from the contractor, but there's a section in the post plan where it talks about us advocating for more money from the general fund. I mean, I've asked for that to potentially be edited or changed several times because the direction we're getting from the county council is quit asking for more money from the general fund. And that's why we've talked about doing a budget committee on how can parks be more self-sustaining? Is it possible for parks to be more self-sustaining? I personally think probably not, but I also don't think that the general fund is the way for us to completely fund parks. So anyways, those are a few of the issues I've had. And I just don't want this. There's other small things, kind of like Stacy brought up some great points about this park standards. And are we putting ourselves into a box when we put size definitions on our parks and the type of parks we have? Because we're running out of land in Clark County. And so if we're putting ourselves in, well, this is supposed to be a neighborhood park, but it's the size of a classic community park, you know, does that, I don't know. I have a lot of concerns about standards, I guess, diversity, equity, inclusion, and the survey. Those are my top three. So definitely want to hear other people's feedback, positive and negative, about where they think we're at with the PROS plan right now.
If I could, this is free discussion. You know, I want us to participate, and I'm going to ask staff, hold off responding, just listen. Let's write things down and review it together, because we'd want to jump in like I'm doing right now, but we'd like to listen to you first.
Yeah, I want to second what you said, Kelsey. I think that the two points that you brought up that are near and dear to my heart is so many times over I've been out there trying to say, time out, we need to look at our poorer side. They can't be there advocating for themselves. And I love the fact that you caught that fact, that the respondents, they have not been from the people that really, and they need those parks. So, you know, tools get ignored because they don't. And the other is I think you've got a keen point on putting in there that we're going more from the general fund, because we all know that that's not a good plan. So being creative, we need to try to do that. But yeah, diversity has got, it got to be way up there high, because the equestrians, the bikers, they come in strong and they advocate loudly and then they get attention. And we can't afford for our community to be represented only by the vocal ones. That's why we're here, is to be vocal for those that can't. So absolutely, that's my priority too.
I'm gonna pick on everyone individually. Jay, you wanna give us your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are more along the lines of the execution of the project. Sorry, I'm a project manager, so I'm looking at that from that aspect. Is I feel like we're under a timetable. I mean, the draft is due by the end of this month, I believe. And then we go immediately into review after, I think there's a 2 or 3 month period where we can, you know, we can read it and we can review it as the board. And I think we need that, if not longer, to incorporate some of our ideas. I appreciate what, you know, Steve and everybody as the consultants are doing, but I don't feel like it's specific enough or oriented enough toward Clark County. I think it's more based on a lot of their input and a lot of the changes are based on more on national or bigger pictures. And so I'd like to make sure that we get enough time to review this, get input, how we see or input what we think is the key elements, and then go for all the review processes and everything else. I'm not going to echo, you know, what Kelsey and Barbara said, because I agree with it. But I also think we need to not be afraid of saying, okay, let's stop, take a pause, get some things figured out here, see how we like it, and then move forward. I don't want to be regimented into a contract, because I think somebody asked if the contract can be paused or delayed, and the answer was yes. So I want to make sure where we can exercise that. That's it for me.
And I also just think being in the pandemic has really stymied our ability to do this project in a meaningful community-based way. I mean, we can't interact with the community. We can't go out and have those face-to-face conversations for people who aren't going to take a survey. And I think we shouldn't just cobble something together because there's this due date that we can potentially pause or work around to make sure that we're doing this document right. We're just not doing it to get it done with. So, John, your thoughts?
Yeah, so I'll ditto everything else, especially Barbara's point, thanking you, Kelsey, for catching the data issues. From my standpoint, I compare this to when I went through it last time. Last time it was, if you will, spoon-fed to the PAB, not quite paragraph by paragraph, but you know, section by section, and we reviewed each section as a group so that when we were done, we were comfortable that this was our document, that it reflected what we wanted. This time I haven't had that chance, and part of that again is COVID, but nevertheless I think we need to be conversant enough with it and feel like we've had had our thumbprints on it so that we can actually pass it and say, yes, this is something we believe in.
Stacy, your thoughts?
I agree with everything that's been said so far, and I appreciate John's reflection on the last time, because I haven't been through this process before. And as we started going through it, and then I looked at the dates, it just felt so rushed to me. And it's an important document, and it's a large document, and there's a ton of information in it. So I mean, it's nice to hear that this isn't what's happened in the past, I guess. And I don't want to find fault with staff or with the consultant. Like, just reiterating the whole COVID thing, I mean, it's changed everything. And but I kind of felt like I wanted to pump the brakes on it. So if there's a chance to do that, I'm all for it. I just think it deserves more thought, more discussion, all of that. So
thanks, Stacy. And I just want to reiterate what Stacy said. Like, this is new for most of the staff are new who are working on this. And COVID has thrown so many loops into this. And I think we've also, you know, John has mentioned several times, the world's changed a lot since March, right? In terms of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And Parks has been a little bit behind on that. The county's been a little bit behind on that, obviously. And so I think looking at things from several different perspectives between racial justice, equity, and now we have COVID and how we're reaching out to underrepresented communities has really caused some issues with what was maybe not really thought of when we did the first PROS plan. And so again, it sounds like if we can pause this and we can do it where it's a document that we feel proud, you know, to have our names on, that sounds like the consensus of the group. So Galena or Rob, I don't know who, or Laura, can you kind of give us a brief, like Galena, you gave us a brief summary, Jay and myself, of what we can't do. Actually, can you tell us also, it sounds like the first PROS plan went way above and beyond what was actually required for the document. Can you give us a little bit of that background and what, you know, what you told us about the capital facilities plan and those, give us some of that information, I guess.
So, you know, I don't like to steal thunder from other folks because they're doing so much great work, amazing work, in fact, and I'm really grateful that Rob and Ahmad are both on the line today. So I'll start, I'm gonna kind of go backwards just for a second. First and foremost, I think staff share in your feedback 100%. You know, we had discussions internally about sort of what we were seeing, where we were headed, the changes in our public involvement efforts due to COVID were just devastating, right? You know, how do you do an open house in an environment where you can't get more than a few people together? It was just extremely impactful. We also have a lot of passion around DEI, equity, inclusion, diversity issues, but not many tools available to us to engage with the public in a meaningful way. So a lot of lessons learned. We do feel that pausing it and rescoping it makes sense. We're still talking to legal, trying to figure out what that looks like. What is the actual timeline? Is it consistent with the county's comprehensive plan? Are we on the hook with our primary funders like RCO if we don't have a current plan in place with them and we have current grants or want to apply for grants? So there's a lot of unknowns that I'm not able to articulate right now because we're still doing that research. What I can tell you is we're all on the same page. Staff and the board are definitely in the same place. So that's refreshing and we're grateful for that. In terms of the scoping for the plan, you know, Rob and I have had multiple discussions and One of those discussions keeps bringing us to this point, and Rob could speak for himself, of course, it was Rocky, or Rocky could speak for him. But the point that I feel like Rob and I keep coming back to is, what is the real scope? What is it that it absolutely has to have? Because honestly, when you look at the comprehensive plan, it's quite vague. And there's actually some contradictory points there to what we believed the PROS plan needed to be. So we're still learning and unpacking that lesson and what it means for us moving forward. I think we have great people in our transportation organization that are going to be leads and helping us with next steps. Rob is working on recruiting his next planning manager, who will be both a transportation and parks planning manager. We don't have a planning manager. We've not had a planning manager. I think we had some planning staff when we were with the city of Vancouver, so this is refreshing and a good support to us. But I imagine, and Rob, please jump in, that the first thing they will do is just kind of lay everything out and say, okay, what are we required to do and when? What is absolutely essential to include and what is not? But some examples of things that I've learned kind of came at the closer to the end. Some of you have talked about receiving levels of service, for example. Those are national levels of service. They are not required, first of all, and bigger organizations than us generally go with fewer levels of service, and those that are more realistic within the geographic scope of their organization. Many of the ones that we've picked and the new ones that were presented will take us to a different place, especially a place where we already know we can't meet those standards. So we're setting ourselves to fail before we even approve the plan. So there was some contradiction with that. NRPA standards are good standards and national standards. They're used by many parks organizations, at least the two I've been to use that as well. But I could give you an example of a much larger place that has two standards. One of them is proximity to a park, and then acreage. How many acres per 1,000 people do you offer? So kind of going back to Stacy's comment about, are we putting ourselves in the box? Possibly. I think some of the things that we've done were very black and white and very like focused, very traditionalist speak. I think we have an opportunity to have some more innovation in our work, which also kind of leads to the park standards, right? We will be blue in the face defining where a park is. Trust me, I worked in a park system that a park was this big. You might have seen it on the news. It's a tree. I think it's on the 6th Street in Portland. The park is literally this. I kid you not, guys. I was the security manager. This was our park. That was the size of my notepad. So defining a park is very difficult. And the more you get into the nitty-gritties of what is a pocket park or a notebook park or a paw print or, you know, in some communities we got into putting parks on roofs, you kind of defeat the purpose, I think. And from what I've heard from our consultant and from Laura and team, we have to make sure that we comply with whatever's in the code related to the PIF calculations, but it's not specific to a pocket park versus a regional park. And the nature of our own organization is very regional in nature. And really, our plan doesn't speak to it very well. It kind of talks about an inventory of all things, all treated equally. And honestly, in today's world, equity is a bit more challenging to achieve. So the focus was really misdirected. We kind of tried to do everything all at once, really big. And that's great. There's a lot of love and passion that went into it. John had mentioned they were, sorry, John, you said spoon fed. I can't think of a better phrase, but essentially spoon fed every page. And you guys did not have that opportunity. You did not have an opportunity to go through each potential project and say, why? How does this fit into a bigger picture? Does it address a need in the community with our underserved folks or underserved geography? So you know me to be very passionate and very chatty by the end of the day. I think I have like second wind in the middle of the night, but what I wanted to say is we're on the same page. This is good feedback for us. We have a good team with Rob's support. We have great wisdom and skill set that we didn't have before. And my hope is as soon as we hear from legal and timelines to come back to you and say, here's what our plan is and here's our revised timeline. Rob, did you want to add anything that I've stated wrong or misstated?
No, I think you hit all the right right notes from the staff perspective, because the one thing I want to make sure is that no matter what we do with the PROS plan work that's been done to date, we didn't throw away the money necessarily, because there are a lot of really good lessons that we can learn from things that we need to look deeper into, things that we're asking questions about, to start poking and saying, what should the PROS plan be? And so I'm looking at the contract that we had with the consultant as being, yeah, Rocky's a sweetheart. I'm looking at the PROS plan as being basically something that's going to help us scope to move forward. And your comments about the public involvement are spot on. We need to find a way to do a better job of hitting the mark for what we have to for public involvement. And I don't want to tip the hand because we need to hear from legal, but we hear you loud and clear, and we're looking for ways to be able to move forward that will allow us to have a plan that really works for our needs.
No, Ahmad, I think you're still on. Did you want to say anything else? We've kind of briefly talked to Ahmad about this too, and anticipate.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not able to turn on my video. If I do, you won't be able to hear me, so sorry about that. I think it's really important to have a systematic plan, and I agree with everything Galina and Rafa said. And we're going to have a number of workshops with council next year to kind of really outline and set out the expectation and know what kind of projects we're going to have and how it's going to be funded. So that's why it's really important to have a kind of master plan or PROS plan that kind of identify what are the next 20 year needs for the community based on how we grow and also level of service that we want to deliver those projects and prioritize them based on that. So I think that's really help us to outline that and have a program, a document that's going to be a living document that we'll use all the time.
And if I may just add one other thing that Rob's team is helping us among a million things, is the CFP, the Capital Facilities Plan. So as you know, the Capital Facilities Plan currently is included in PROS, or we've called it a Capital Facilities Plan, except that it's not really a Capital Facilities Plan that you would see in this type of a setting, right? Like you would see with transportation projects. So Rob is the transportation division manager, and one of the things his team is helping us do is elevate our CFP, kind of narrow its focus, make it more focused, really address the color of money, as he likes to say it, and help us put together essentially a matrix of capital investments to take to you and to council. And here's what we believe we've committed to do, and here's all these other things that we thought we could, should, or might do, and kind of where they rate and who's going to pay for them. And there's a lot more discussion to be had. The one thing I don't know yet, and I'm pretty sure I'm correct, but I am pretty sure, not 100% sure, that the CFP could be a standalone document, and the PROS plan could be more visionary in nature. So we're just trying to unpack it. We do, when we submit to RCO, need to have a CFP included with the PROS plan. So I'm just trying to figure out, can we have two separate documents that feed off of each other, or does it have to be one document? And I should be able to have that information from legal by the end of this year.
I had one last comment about the last time we did the PROS plan. And I know the term spoon feeding may have a negative connotation to it, but I think our objective in that, Galina, was we attacked it modularly, and we were trying to make sure everybody was comfortable with one module before we moved on to the next. So it did take us almost a full year of holding additional meetings. But I think all of the members at that time were comfortable with where we were at and understood it better. And I know I might like to approach things slower, but I would feel better about this plan if I had more time to absorb it and understand and comprehend it before moving on to the next part. But that's just me and my comfort level. But I think it worked pretty well the last time. So if we can take that and say, okay, I need to be spoon-fed, then yeah, that's what I need for a comfort level.
No, thanks. no disrespect, Barbara. I just used the word that earlier. Exactly what you said. I think we all needed more time to absorb, to process, to see, to discuss. So yeah, I agree.
And this is Rob. I think it's important for everyone to just understand. Spoon-fed doesn't sound right, but the decisions that are being made are incredibly important and incredibly complex. And so everyone that is working on the plan needs to be able to work and understand how the different elements interact with each other and what we want to change and what those ramifications are. So I don't like the term spoon-fed, but I think that the idea of being able to meter out and measure and be very careful about making decisions that are well-informed is going to be very important as we move forward.
Yeah, this was a really good discussion. So definitely tabling this until January. Hopefully we'll have more info back from legal on what our steps are and what we can do to make sure that this plan is, you know, the best plan it can be. So thank you everyone for a really great discussion. Time, I'm gonna move forward to the Harmony update with Jay and Galena.
Okay, Galena, you want me to jump in? I'll let you follow up. So we've had several meetings with Harmony Sports Complex and with the city. Rob had joined us, which was great. He kind of kept us all on task and on a straight and narrow path, and kept reminding us about the color of money in our discussions. But bottom line is that Harmony has to go forward and submit a site plan, and they need to submit it to the county first, and then it'll go to the city so that they can get the permits to do their safety, the parking lot and safety improvements. And part of that is there's about 3.5 acres that is not included in Harmony's lease, but is included in the site plan, if you will, or they want to include it in the site plan. They have included it in the site plan. So Harmony wants, the Sports Association wants to come back to this group next month. I believe it's next month, isn't it, Galena? And kind of present their case for basically opening the lease and including this 3.5 acres. We've kind of, I think several of us have tried to explain to Harmony Sports Association that opening that lease can, you know, you open it for the good, you open it for the review. The county is going through a lot of reviews right at the moment on leasing and how they want to handle them. So it's kind of a up to Harmony, but and they want to go forward with that kind of action. But the key to this group is, I think, whether that 3.5 acres, which is owned by the county and is designated as parkland, should be included in that site plan, should be included in the Harmony complex, if you will, and activities of the complex or the development, site plan development of the complex. Galena, do you have anything else?
Clarify, Jay, if I may, we might have heard things a little differently. So Harmony can't submit a site plan without that land.
Yes.
So in one of my communications with them, what I had mentioned to them is we don't have a process where we approve land, not leased to them as part of site plan for a development project. So if they came to us with their original, the old version of their site plan, it does include a parcel that Jay said that they don't currently lease. So again, they don't need to come to you and get approval, but we want to make sure these things are vetted and you have an opportunity to weigh in. I invited them to come in January and tell you about their needs for this parcel of land. I had also mentioned to them that going through a lease amendment could take a bit of time. We will be asking them to help unpack some vagueness in our current lease. You just leave it at that. So it'll be a bit of a process, but I hope they will actually take my suggestion, submit their site plan minus that land sooner than later, and then work on the lease amendment separately. We'll see how that goes. And we haven't received an updated site plan yet, Jay, since we last talked a couple of weeks ago.
No, they were going to go through with Robin, I think, and go meet with the engineers. That was their next step on the side, or, you know, through their side. So you could probably get a better feel for if that's happened or not from your project manager, Robin. I think her name's Robin, right? I'm terrible with names, but at least I can remember that one. So that's it as far as the update.
Stacy, you were attached to a million emails on this topic. Is there anything you want to add?
No, you guys covered it. Yeah.
All right. So to be continued with Harmony per usual, we'll see them on our next agenda under unfinished business in January. All right, Galena, annual budget update.
You know, no changes since we last met. I share the good news with you. We didn't have to cut our budget. We projected that if we were to take the two requested cuts, it would be about 10% to our total division budget. That did not occur. So good news, no change there. I'm still unpacking some of the details of what that means for some of our project work next year. All of our requests for those were approved. Things like Philida Park and Curtin Creek and things of that nature. What's the holdup is not so much budget related, it's more process related. Many of those projects, we need to go to council to ask for notice to contractors, and that happens in the hearing format. So Ahmad is working diligently with our county manager to help prioritize this body of work. But honestly, folks, these last few weeks with some of the newer COVID restrictions and increases in infection rates, public health has been very heavy on everyone's mind. And so a lot of our time with council is prioritized towards the public health emergency. So I'm hopeful we'll get to go in front of council early next year to kind of hear where we are in projects. Like I said, money is not the holdup, it's more the procedural. We need approval to start moving forward. The only thing I will add was budget. We did talk a while back about forming a budget committee. You know, I've talked to execs very briefly about potentially waiting to see sort of the new appetite for where the financial investments and sort of positions will be with our newer council members next year. Ahmad had shared with you that he and I and staff are planning to go to council multiple times next year to talk to them about our budget situation and kind of educate them about the work that we do and how it's funded and how we move forward over the next few years. So that work will occur here probably starting in March. And so hopefully before March, I'll come to you and give you a sample of what we're going to discuss with our council members. And it's largely going to be educational, just to catch up some of their new folks up to speed on where we are and what we've done and how we operate and things like that. That really truly is all I have other than the PAB nomination update. I don't know, did you, Kelsey, want to say anything about the new member, or did you want me to? Or did you say it already?
I didn't say it already. I will say that the county manager foolishly allowed John Spencer to continue serving on the Parks Advisory Board. And we're lucky that Stacy also was approved, and we'll have a new member joining us in January. His name is Felix. I was just trying to go find his resume so I could give you a few facts. I think I have some committed to memory. Jay, you and Galena can help me if I forget. He's an engineer at Intel, is that correct?
Tool engineer, yes.
Yes, he has two young sons. He's volunteered with the Rwandan community, is that correct?
I believe so.
Yes, and so, and he has, I think he said Monday and Tuesdays off, so he should be able to make all of our parks meetings, which we're really excited about. So we're waiting for him to go on the consent agenda, is that correct, for the counselors on the 15th, so then he can officially join us in January. So we're definitely excited about Felix joining us. So, okay, roundtable discussion. I will, how's the best way to do this? Should I just call people? I'll just call people out. And if you don't want to say anything, just do a thumbs down. And if you do, unmute yourself. Stacy. Okay. Alex, thank you, Alex, for stepping up. I'm going to give Alex a shout out, whether she wants to say something or not, because she's really jumped in and is doing her job and Megan's former job. And I've really appreciated all of her help this past few months. Alex, do you want to say anything? I can't see your thumbs.
No, I'm good, but I appreciate all of you.
Awesome. Thanks, Alex. Delanne?
Sure, I'll say something for a couple of minutes. The Parks Foundation is working on all of the grants that we have for next year. Of course, in the middle of COVID, it's a lot more difficult to look for funding for some of those. So we've got 7 grants that we're trying to raise funds for this next year. One of them is actually for trail counters for the county parks. And then Camp Hope, again, Teen Late Night, the dog park, which is the Ike Memorial Dog Park in Hazeldale. We're looking to help them raise some money for new fencing over there. The Washougal Pickleball Courts, and there's another one that I can't think of at the moment, but that's okay. You know, you go through them however many times and you think you'd know them all, but I can't remember them all at one time or another. Battleground summer playground programs. So some of the programs we've done many times over the years, and others are newer programs. With COVID, it's just a lot more difficult to go out and raise funds for them. And so we're continuing to do that and to hopefully be able to make those grants in May again, like we normally do. So that's pretty much where it sits right now. We have about 70,000 in grants that we're trying to fund. So I don't know how successful we're going to be this year. Like everything else, COVID has just put a monkey wrench in things. So there you go. And if you're not a member of the Parks Foundation, then please do join the Parks Foundation and help us fund those grants.
Thanks, Elian. Galena, you're next on my screen.
I don't have anything else to add. We appreciate you very much. My staff absolutely love coming to meetings. I keep telling them, you can unplug, you could go home. No, 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 I want to stay. So we love you and we appreciate you very much.
Thank you. Jay, you're next on my screen.
Okay, so a couple of things. Number one, congratulations to Stacy and John for returning and to the PAB. I really appreciate y'all's effort with that. The other thing is not to toot John's horn too much, but I understand he also just got elected to the State Port Authority Board. So congratulations to you, John. And I challenge you to wear that coat in your first meeting. up in Olympia, that should be an interesting approach. The other thing is I wanted to say thank you to all the staff working on the PROS plan. Working through that, I know that that's you guys have got 101 things, and as Galena said, you know, health concerns are the priority nowadays and everything, but still we managed to get the PROS plan move forward. The legacy lands is moving forward. You know, everybody's doing their job at the county staff and plus. So I just wanted to tell everybody that I appreciate them and everything with through that. So with that, that's it. For me.
All right, John.
I think all I've got is happy holidays to y'all.
Thank you, John. Barbara?
Just was wondering, is the PIF balances available online? I Googled it and wasn't able to locate the latest.
Barb, I invited our new finance person to come and do a robust update on PIFs in February. So stay tuned. I don't think they're uploaded on the webpage yet, but he is coming with a huge report for us. So stay by.
Yeah. Well, I know COVID has had such a huge impact on everybody, and I'm concerned about our ability to function and provide. You know, just look to the PIF for what has a build. I know the building's been real slow around me, and I'm hoping those dollars are going to start coming in soon. But Merry Christmas, everyone. Stay safe.
Okay, next on my screen is Ahmad. Ahmad, do you have anything to add?
Oh, no, I just want to say a lot of exciting things yet to come with parks, and they're going to be really busy next year for council. So I really appreciate your support, and we're going to engage you guys with everything that we're going to be doing. So I'm looking forward to next year.
All right, thanks, Ahmad. Kaylee?
Just that while you guys were chatting about some other things, I used Kelsey's Vlogistics account, her profile, to kind of test some things. And so your screen will look a little different than the one I used to give you guys that little tutorial. So I'll email each of you your email address, your temporary password, and all those little tutorials once I get those done. So be looking for that, and please just contact me with any questions.
What an overachiever. Thanks, Kaylee.
Hey.
Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hello, hello. So I do have an update on the Lewis and Clark Trail. The CVTV had been working on a film for us clear back in March, and we were hoping to have it released at the May luncheon for the Parks Foundation. And as we know, COVID stepped in and said we were doing other things. And so the same happened with CVTV. The health department took over their time, and they were just recently able to get back to the project, interview Dan Miller, and the short film was released earlier this month and went out with a news release and via social media. So just wanted to let you know that that is out there. I've asked our communications team to also add it to our Lewis and Clark Trail report page. So it should be available there soon. I'll send it to Galena and Alex so that they can share it with all of you. So that's it. Thank you.
I've seen it, Laura, and it turned out really, really, really well. And your interviews in it are awesome. Thanks for all your hard work on that. Nicole, do you have anything to let us know school-wise?
There we go. I was like, why is it not working? No, school-wise, we don't have much going on. We do have a lot going on. This is honestly, like, this meeting is the most chill part of my months. So I appreciate it. But no, at this point, we don't have any updates. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for all your help. And we interviewed you for the post plan, right? Your opinion on it. Thank you for participating in that, because that really helps us with PIF calculations. So thank you.
Awesome. Definitely. You're welcome.
Sorry, I muted myself and cannot unmute myself. This meeting is almost over. Rob and Rocky, you have anything to add?
So Rocky's happy to be here. I'm really happy to be involved in here, and we're looking forward to working with the Parks Division and PAB to help move this process forward. So I appreciate you having me here. Thank you.
All right, everyone. I'll just add that I'm really thankful for staff and our board. I mean, I think we've managed to at least tread water since March, which is really all anyone can do right now. So hopefully when we meet in 2021, it's the brand new start for lots of things. So thanks, everyone, for all your hard work this year, and have a safe, happy holiday season, and we'll see you next year.
Thank you. Good night.